Okay, so our topic tonight is really to get into the bottom, into the depths of our emotional experience of Rosh Hashanah, as you saw in some of the Maariv Mekomos. And don't worry if you didn't get through all of them. Bli Neder, promise this year will be just as understandable, even if you didn't get through all of the Maariv Mekomos. So let's begin with a couple of introductory points. Rosh Hashanah stands out amongst all of the other Moadim, amongst all the other holidays, in the presentation of the Torah, for one reason. Because there's so little that's said about Rosh Hashanah. If you open up Vayikra, Perech Chav Gimel, Parshas Emor, there are a total of 2 psukim about Rosh Hashanah. You look at all of the other Moadim, it's a whole paragraph full of Rosh Hashanah. What's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah? Shofar. How do we know that? How do we know? Zichron Trua. Where did the Torah tell you to blow a shofar in that pasuk? It didn't do it, right, Barry? Didn't tell you shofar. How do you know what a trua is? You know what a trua is?
The Gemara in
Rosh Hashanah barely knows. We've been discussing in the halachos between Mincha Maariv that there's a whole suffix, there's a whole doubt about what even is the trua that we're supposed to blow on Rosh Hashanah. All of the details of what we do. What's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to blow or to hear? Not clear. Zichron trua, a remembrance of a trua. What does that even mean? What does zichron trua mean? I once heard my Rebbe speak about this topic very much from my Rebbe's Rav Rosenzweig. He used to say that if you look at every commentator, every single one has a different explanation as to what zichron trua means. It's a fascinating phenomenon. That the Torah tells us something about a holiday, that's the only thing that we have about the holiday, and we don't even know what it is. So what stands out immediately after reading about Rosh Hashanah in the Torah is its ambiguity. The fact that there is so little that we know about Rosh Hashanah. And when we add to that picture, what we can add to that picture is how exactly are we supposed to experience the day of Rosh Hashanah? What are we supposed to be feeling? And that's what I want to delve into tonight, and hopefully at the very end we'll return to why the Torah, perhaps try to give an explanation to why the Torah makes Rosh Hashanah so ambiguous. Okay, so we saw in the Maariv Mekomos, the Torah calls the day of Rosh Hashanah what? In the Pasuk? Uvachodesh hashvi be'echad achodesh? Mikra kodesh. It's a day of sanctity, a holy assembly. Yeah? That it has in common with all of the other chagim. Now let me ask you the following question. We know that on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, there's an obligation to go to the Beis HaMikdash and offer a korban. And that korban is called the Shalmei Simcha. That's one of the 3 korbanos that we offer on a holiday. Shalmei Simcha, which is a korban that expresses our joy, and we partake of the meat in order to feel the joy on Rosh Hashanah. Do we do that on throughout the rest of the Chagim? Do we do that on Rosh Hashanah? Shalmei Simcha. No. Is there a mitzvah v'aliyah l'regel?
No.
So why not? Because the Torah says, Shalosh pe'amin tachog li b'ashana. 3 times you have aliyah l'regel. Rosh Hashanah is not included in that. So on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah is grouped together with all of the other holidays by being called Mikra Kodesh, but on the other hand, it's never explicitly called a Chag. And we don't have a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So this prompts the question as to whether some of the elements of the other Chagim, of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, do they apply to Rosh Hashanah? So what elements do I have in mind? Well, the Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh, V'samachta b'chagecha. That's the source, Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes Manala. For those of you who were here on Shavuos, throwback to Shavuos night, we learned all about Simchas Yom Tov. Pesachim Kuf Tes Manala, V'samachta b'chagecha, tells us that we have a mitzvah to rejoice on the holiday. And primarily that's to go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring Shalmei Simcha. But on Rosh Hashanah, we don't have that mitzvah to go to the Beis HaMikdash. So is there any mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? So what did everybody see? Anything in the Maariv Mekomos?
Maybe.
Why do you say maybe? It's a debate. That's the classic. That's a classic Jewish response, right? Okay. So. Okay. So what do you see? Who says yes and why? Okay, so in source number 4, you saw from the Mordechai. The Mordechai is Mordechai ben Hillel. You see in the parentheses, he lived in Germany in the 1200s. He is one of the main sources for a lot of Ashkenazi practice. A lot of the Mordechai is quoted by the Ramah. The Mordechai and the Maharami Rutenberg, a lot of the German Rishonim were the forerunners for Ashkenazi practice. So the Mordechai says that although the Torah does not explicitly call Rosh Hashanah a Chag, nonetheless we can derive from other places that Rosh Hashanah is called a Chag. We know the Pasuk, Bakesa Liom Chagenu, we're going to say that on Rosh Hashanah. Bakesa Liom Chagenu, Kesa is covering. So what does it mean on the covering of the day of our holiday? So what's the day when something is covered? Rosh Hashanah, that's the day that the moon is covered. And therefore that Pasuk refers to Rosh Hashanah. If that Pasuk refers to Rosh Hashanah, then it means that Rosh Hashanah is also called a Chag, because it says, Bakesa Liom Chagenu. If it's called a Chag, then maybe we should treat it like the other Chagim, like Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And just as there's Simcha, a mitzvah to rejoice on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, so too on Rosh Hashanah. So that's exactly what the Mordechai holds. The Mordechai says that there is going to be a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. We'll get to you in a second, Aryeh. In source number 3, the Orchos Chaim, Rabbi Aaron HaKohen of Loniel, he disagrees with the Mordechai. And he says, no, we're not going to say the Nusach, the text in the Tefillah of Atita Lanu Hashem Elokeinu, Mo'adim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason. That's what we usually say in every Yontif Davening, right? Mo'adim L'Simcha, Chagim Uzmanim L'Sason, yeah? So Mo'adim L'Simcha, we're not going to do on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Says the Orchos Chaim, it's not a holiday for joy. It's a day to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with fear and with dread. It's the Yom HaDin. So already we see this complex nature of Rosh Hashanah, that on the one hand, it's in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Gimel, grouped together with the other Moadim, and we compare it to the other Moadim. It shares some in Kamin, Mikra Kodesh. But on the other hand, there's no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. And it's also the Yom HaDin. It's the day that we're going to face judgment. So will the real Rosh Hashanah please stand up? Right? Is Rosh Hashanah a day of joy? Or is it a day of fear? A day of Yira? It seems like the Orchos Chaim and the Mordechai take polar opposite perspectives. The Mordechai thinks we should group it with the other holidays, consider it a day of joy. The Orchos Chaim, Rabbi Aaron HaKohen of Loniel, thinks no. From the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, that means we shouldn't consider it like a day of joy, like the other Mo'adim. Aryeh.
Like I say, the game is a Pesach and Tehillim, right?
Correct.
So what impact does that have on, does the Torah think of...
Good. So the Torah never explicates that Rosh Hashanah is a Chag. But what we're deriving from that Pesach and Tehillim is that Rosh Hashanah is referred to a Chag, which reveals its true stature. It's true status. And then he brings another proof, which is that at the end of Vayikra Chav Gimel, the Torah says, Vaydabru Moshe es Moadei Hashem el Bnei Yisrael. Moshe taught all of the Moadim to all of Klal Yisrael. That Pasuk encapsulates all of the holidays together, such that we should compare one to the other. So that Pasuk is talking about Pesach, it's talking about Shavuos, it's talking about Sukkot, and it's also talking about Rosh Hashanah. So says Rabbi Yochanan, and Yom Kippur too. Yeah, is there a mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Kippur? Maybe. Well, we'll see in the Rambam. Maybe. Maybe there's a mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Kippur. Yeah, you'll see. Oh, very good. Okay, so the beginning of the Mordechai is talking about an age-old question, which hopefully we'll get to by the end of this year, of whether it's permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah. And the Mordechai was trying to defend the perspective that it's prohibited to fast on Rosh Hashanah. And why is it prohibited to fast? Because if you're obligated to rejoice, part of rejoicing is eating. And therefore, it'd be prohibited to fast. But we'll come back to that. In this little paragraph, you don't see any practical consequences. Oh, okay. So Yosef wants to argue. So Yosef is kind of giving an answer to the question already, right? The question is, will the real Rosh Hashanah please stand up? If there's really a mitzvah of joy on Rosh Hashanah, how should we characterize it? And Yosef's arguing that it's kind of like a quantitative hierarchy. Whereas when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, you have an unbridled, full throttle sense of joy. On Rosh Hashanah, you have a more tempered simcha. And therefore, maybe it's a simcha of not doing certain negative things, like fasting, not doing certain, like, stressful things, distressing things, but not a simcha of overjoyous type of action. Okay, so we'll see. Maybe that'll be the case. I think that certainly has what to defend it. I want to maybe sharpen it a little bit more. Of course. Anyone can talk at any time. That's part. That's the name of the game. The Darachet. Yeah. Very good. So I'll tell you what he does. Hukshu kol ha-moado zeh lezeh. Does that necessarily mean that you're going to carry over when it says v'samachta b'chagecha? Meaning to say that the Orech Chaim could argue that that Rosh Hashanah is compared to other holidays in some respects. We'll see in the Shulchan. You know what? Jump down to the Shulchan Aruch Harav in source number 7. So basically, the next question is going to be: how do we paskin halacha lemaisa? We have a debate amongst the Rishonim whether there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah or not. Which do we accept? Do we think that there's a mitzvah of Simcha? So Yosef says, well, how does the opinion that there's no mitzvah of Simcha resolve the evidence of the opinion that there is a mitzvah of Simcha? So look at source number 7. The Shulchan Aruch Harav writes, this is the Alter Rebbe, the forerunner of Lubavitch. So Shnei mitzvos elu shehin kavod va'oneg. There are mitzvos of kavod va'oneg. Kavod is a mitzvah to prepare for a holy day, and oneg is a mitzvah to take pleasure in that day. But oneg is not exactly the same thing as simcha. On Shabbos, we don't have a mitzvah of simcha, according to most, but we do have a mitzvah of oneg. So says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Shnei mitzvos elu shein kavod va'oneg, noagos gamkin v'Rosh Hashanah, shahari ne'mar bo mikra kodesh. So the Torah says about Rosh Hashanah that's mikra kodesh. Well, hukshu kol ha-moado zeh lezeh. We compare all of the moados one to another. So if you have kavod va'oneg with one, you'll have kavod va'oneg with another. However, the Shulchan Aruch Harav very clearly says that mashe'in b'Rosh Hashanah, what do you not have on Rosh Hashanah? The mitzvah of simcha. The mitzvah of simcha that applies to the other holidays and even on Chol HaMoed does not apply to Rosh Hashanah. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and I think that answers your question. Now, not everybody agrees with the Shulchan Aruch Harav. If you look in source number 6, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, so he says, Ochlim v'shosim usmeichim, the Shulchan Aruch says that we're supposed to eat, drink, and be merry on Rosh Hashanah. So says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 6, Ratzalomar, afshehu yom hadin, even though it's a day of judgment, mikol makom mitzvah shel v'samachta b'chagecha shayach gam bo. The mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha applies to it. Shegam hu b'chlal chag, the pasuk that the Mordechai quoted. So you see that the Mishnah Berurah, who we often follow in our halachic practices, the Mishnah Berurah does quote the pasuk of Isamachta Bechagecha as applying to Rosh Hashanah. So I would think that that by default we would accept that position, that the mitzvah of Simcha does apply to Rosh Hashanah. Now, let's bring this full circle. We started out with the point that what do we not bring on Rosh Hashanah? What do we not do on Rosh Hashanah? Shami Simcha. We don't go to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't bring a korban. So wait a minute. If we don't bring a korban on Rosh Hashanah, then what simcha is left? What's the simcha that we're even talking about if there's no korban that you offer in the Beis HaMikdash? Good. Okay, good. So Chaim is basically referencing a machlokas that we also learned about on Shavuos, between Tosfos and the Rambam. This is very key to know. This is what one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Dovi Nachbar, who's a Rebbe in TBC, also at GPAS. So he's one of my very close to him, Baruch Hashem. So he used to call things refrigerator material. You got to know this. It's got to be in your pocket. So this debate between Tosfos and the Rambam, this is refrigerator material. So I know Dovi knows what I'm talking about. I know he knows where I'm going. Okay. So Tosfos says like this. Tosfos Homai Katan Daf Yudal Adam Beis says that there's only one mitzvah of simcha mide oraisa. There's only one biblical commandment of simcha. That's to bring a korban, shalmei simcha, or to eat the meat from korbanos. If you don't have korbanos, says Tosfos, no mitzvah of simcha. Why do we rejoice? Why do we have meat meals nowadays? It's a mitzvah derabanan. The Rabbanan said to keep doing it, even though we don't have korbanos. That's Tosfos. The Rambam in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav Halacha Yod Zayin, he disagrees. The Rambam says no, exactly like what Chaim was saying. One way of achieving simcha, perhaps the ideal way of achieving simcha, is by going to the Beis HaMikdash, sacrificing a korban, partaking of its meat. But that doesn't mean that it's the only way to experience simcha. Rather, there are also other types of simcha. And in fact, any way in which you feel joyous, that would constitute a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, according to the Rambam. And therefore, the Rambam says that even nowadays, we have an ability to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha on a de'oraisa level, on a biblical level, by rejoicing in the things that make us joyous. Eating meat, drinking wine, having new clothing, new jewelry, candy, whatever it is. That is something that can bring us joy. That would fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So, the question is, for the Rambam at least, that there's a mitzvah de'oraisa of simcha, and according to the Mishneh Berurah, we're going to apply it to Rosh Hashanah. So here comes the following question. Do we have to have meat meals on Rosh Hashanah? On Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the poskim say to have at least one meat meal per day. One per day. So if you like to have dairy in your menu, so you split it up. Okay. But what about on Rosh Hashanah? Should we try to have at least one meat meal each day of Rosh Hashanah? So if you look at the Piskei Tshuvos, source number 9, this was a collection by I forgot the author, is Chassidus Talmud Chacham. He brought a lot of different opinions together, speaks a lot about the contemporary issues. So in the Piskei Tshuvos, he quotes that there's basically a machlokas haposkim about this. The Magen Avraham says that there's no obligation to have meat and wine. Perhaps, Yosef, that goes back to your point from before, that even though there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, maybe doesn't reach the same level as the simcha of the other holidays. And therefore, we're going to distinguish between Rosh Hashanah and other holidays. Whereas on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, you should have at least one meat meal. On Rosh Hashanah, no meat, no wine. Simcha, you can't fast. You have to have a meal. You have to wash. You have to have a meal. But meat and wine, we're not going to go so far. Remember, it's still a day of fear and judgment. It's still a day in which you're standing before Hashem. So we're going to say that according to your approach, this is how we would respond to that, right? Yes, ein simcha ela bebasar, ein simcha ela biyayin, but on Rosh Hashanah, we have a certain, you know, counter pull, right? We have an... It is that. But maybe on Rosh Hashanah, we have to account for the fact that it's also the Yom HaDin. So maybe we'll try to even, you know, mitigate that a little bit, temper it even a little bit more. That ein simcha ela bebasar, that's the real way of being joyous. Okay, so you know what? Maybe we won't go that far. Maybe we'll do less. Maybe we'll say we just won't fast. But there are other poskim who say exactly like you, Yosef, that yes, one should try to have at least one meat meal on Rosh Hashanah. And I would think that most of the poskim assume like that. And the Shulchan Aruch also points out in Simen Tav Kuf Tzadi Zayin, I don't have this on the sheet, but everybody agrees that it's a good idea to have, you know, sweet delicacies on Rosh Hashanah night. And one of those things that the Ramah quotes is, you know, delicious meat, because it's a simen tov for the rest of the year. So in addition to the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, there's also a minog to have certain foods on Rosh Hashanah night in order to inaugurate this new year. Yes?
So, for the Shulchan Aruch Rabbah, he brings up the mitzvah from the Nevi'im of Oneg Shabbos.
Right.
Which also applies to Rosh Hashanah.
Correct.
On Shabbos already, we don't have a day of Simchas Yontif, and yet we are chayav in Suuda, we should own it.
100%.
So should that also apply to Rosh Hashanah, regardless if you...
It definitely does. It definitely...
There's a mitzvah of Suuda.
Right.
So I guess the question is whether on Shabbos maybe you can get away with milchiks?
Exactly. So you're clarifying the exact point. Exactly. So Oneg definitely applies to Rosh Hashanah. So for sure you have to have two meals. For sure. You have to have a meal at night, you have to have a meal during the day. The question is, does one of those meals have to be a meat meal in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha? Meat is not necessary to fulfill Oneg, but it is necessary to fulfill Simcha. Or at least it's a mitzvah in order to fulfill Simcha. I'm not going to go into that whole sugya right now. Right, exactly. You wash, right? You have a sit down type of meal.
It gets complicated meal planning for 2 days, like a Shabbos Yom.
If you have a shot, yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's basically the end of section 1. So what we've seen so far is that we have a debate amongst the Rishonim as to whether the mitzvah of Simcha applies to Rosh Hashanah. We have a debate even amongst the poskim. We said that halacha lemaisa, we're going to adopt the view that it does. And then the question is, how far do we go? Do we say it's exactly like the other holidays, so you're going to have meat and wine? Or it's maybe it's a little bit less than other holidays, so you won't. And we said that it's probably best to try to have at least one meat meal on Rosh Hashanah. Things get a little bit more interesting when we point out an apparent inconsistency in our view. So Moshe, we said so far that we adopt the view that Simcha applies to Rosh Hashanah. Chazan, right? Do we say Moadim l'Simcha, Chagim l'Zmanim l'Sason on Rosh Hashanah? We do not. Exactly. That was a debate between the Gaonim. If you look at source number 10, I'm not going to read it inside because of time, but if you look in source number 10, the Rosh quotes different positions in the Gaonim, whether we say Moadim l'Simcha in our Tfila on Rosh Hashanah. But we paskin in Shulchan Aruch in source number 11, Eino Omer Moadim l'Simcha, Chagim l'Zmanim l'Sason. We don't say in our Tfila that Rosh Hashanah was given for Simcha, or for Sason, for joy. So wait a minute, I don't understand. On the one hand, the Mishneh Berurah told us that V'samachta b'chagecha applies to Rosh Hashanah, just like we saw first in the Mordechai. But on the other hand, we're not going to say Moadim l'Simcha. How can you have your cake and eat it too? If we hold that Simcha applies to Rosh Hashanah, then we should say Moadim l'Simcha. Let's not be embarrassed. Let's be confident. It's a day of Simcha. So let's call it a day of Simcha. How exactly should we resolve this inconsistency? Yeah? Yeah, all right.
Tefillah in general matches up often with korbanos. So from a korban perspective, nobody had, clearly there's no simcha. We're not bringing down the simcha.
Correct.
So from a tefillah perspective, okay, so there's a lesser version, which we somewhat can accomplish maybe without wine, or without meat, but clearly the korban top level is not there, so it would make sense not to have it in.
Okay, so Ari is suggesting that maybe the phrase Moadim l'Simcha most keenly references the Shalmei Simcha because it comes in the context of Tefillah. Only pushback I have is that the Ramban points out that in the Nusach of Kiddush, we also omit Moadim l'Simcha. So you could argue, okay, that's a carryover from Tefillah, but okay, so we'll see. Yeah, Dovi.
It's kind of extreme in the sense of saying that there's mitzvah simcha everywhere. And I wonder, like, does the Mordechai hold that there's simcha b'zman hazeh? Because the Mordechai is one of the Baalei Tosfos.
Correct.
So it could be that if you say mitzvah simcha everywhere b'zman hazeh is only a separate thing of simcha the Rabbanon, then it's not necessarily as rigidly bound. When you say b'samach b'chadecha, anyway, it doesn't mean d'oraisa b'samach b'chadecha, because there isn't d'oraisa b'samach b'chadecha.
Right. I don't know. Right, I hear what you're saying. In Dovi saying that v'samachta b'chagecha, maybe the Mordechai doesn't even mean that it applies to Rosh Hashanah on a Doraisa level. Okay, it's a possibility, not sure. I would have thought I guess the simple interpretation doesn't sound so much like that, but I hear the possibility though. So I want to suggest a different approach, and this is really going to get to the core idea that I want to bring out tonight. So, if you look at the Rambam in source number 13 and 14, the Rambam is building off of a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that Flam and Bezim and Bez, which explains that we don't say Halel on Rosh Hashanah. And why do we not say Halel on Rosh Hashanah? Because Efshar Melech Yoshev HaKisei Din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the imagery, is sitting on his throne of judgment. V'sifrei Chayim v'sifrei Mesim Psuchim Lefanav. The books of judgment are open in front of Hashem. V'Yisrael Omim Shira, and we're going to start singing song, it's not appropriate. Says the Rambam, based on that Gemara, in the Perish HaMishnayos, that Rosh Hashanah is not a day of singing, and obviously we incorporate lots of singing into davening in order to make it a little bit more spiritual and inspiring, but it's not a day of joyous song. Rather, it's a day of tefillah, of prayer, v'hachna lifnei Hashem, a day in which we cower, we humble ourselves before Hashem. V'yira mimenu, we're fearful. V'nisa elav, we're escaping towards Him. He is our Savior. U'tshuva u'tchino b'akashas mechila. This is a day of tshuva. V'in ra'oi b'matzavim ka'ila l'smarach v'lasis, says the Rambam. It's not a day in which it's appropriate to rejoice. So does the Rambam agree with the Orchos Chaim that it's not a day of Simcha at all? If you take a look at the next Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, he makes it clear that although Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not days of Simcha Yisera, they're not days of Simcha Yisera. They're not days of having overly joyous experience, right? They're not days of unfettered joy. But if they're not days of unfettered joy, it sounds like they are days of joy, just not days of unfettered joy. Not Simcha Yisera, but it is a regular day of Simcha. And apparently we would only say Hallel on a day of Simcha Yisera, but not a day that's not Simcha Yisera. What exactly is the difference between these? Is it just a quantitative distinction, kind of like what Yosef was saying before? We could draw the line at different places. We could say we could be joyous up to level 6, joyous up to level 8, or joyous up to level 10. And Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we're going to go for the home run. We're going to go for level 10. Rosh Hashanah, we're going to cool it down a little bit. We'll only go for level 6. Is that what the Rambam's saying? Or the Rambam perhaps is getting at a more qualitative distinction. He's trying to say something a little bit deeper. So I would humbly suggest that maybe the Rambam is adopting the second. And this would be based on the Bach, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, in source number 15. Very, very key source. Yeah.
So obviously we don't say Hallel, we don't raise
the Hallel,
the last 6 days of Pesach.
Correct.
What would
you
say about the Rambam there when you say, like, we're not
the
happy?
The mitzvah of Simcha doesn't apply?
Yeah.
Right. Like right. So I think the Rambam would say that there, I mean, you're making a very good point. And I think what the Rambam would respond is that when you don't say Hallel, that doesn't automatically reflect that it's not a full day of Simcha. But if it's not a full day of Simcha, then you certainly will not say Hallel. It only works in the latter direction, not in the former. Yeah, Chaim.
Going back to Orchos Chaim, even when he is saying that it's not about Simcha, you could read it as in a limited capacity just about blessings.
Correct. You could say, and you know what?
He brings the point right to say this.
You're right, you're right. And maybe that's no, that's all that he says. And by the time that we got to the end of the shiur, I think we could group the Orchos Chaim possibly with the camp that we're going to develop. But if you want like a straw man, if you want someone to hold that position, it's the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Like he clearly says that Simcha doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So, yes. Oh, hey, Josh. Yeah.
Yeah. Similar to like last 6 days of
Pesach.
Also, with regards to like Rosh Chodesh, we don't necessarily say like, oh, we're Simcha for Chodesh. I almost feel like Hallel is not really a great proof.
So Hallel on Rosh Chodesh.
Maybe it's good. This other thing where it's like it's just awkward to say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, but it's not really
not a Simcha din. Okay. So the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is not one of the mitzvos d'oraisa of Hallel. That's only b'toras mincha. So therefore, it'd be more difficult to bring a proof from that case. And the Ramban is famous for saying in the Shorashim in the Sefer HaMitzvos that Hallel is actually one of the ways in which we fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif. It's a very interesting source. So it seems that Hallel and Simcha are interrelated, although I agree with you that they're not exactly the same. But so I want to suggest, what exactly does the Rambam mean that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not days of Simcha Yisera, but maybe they are days of Simcha? So the Bach, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, source number 15, he says like this, an amazing, amazing distinction that really gets to the core of what we're trying to say. The Bach says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were not given for the purpose of Simcha. You know why we don't say in Tefillah, Vatiten lanu mo'adim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason? Because that would imply that Nesinas Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, hi l'simcha u'l'sason kish'ar chagim mo'adim uzmanim. If we were to say that in Tefillah, then we would get the misimpression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in order to rejoice. That was the purpose, that was the telos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Says the Bach, it's not true. It's not true. There is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? That from the perspective of the person, we experience and express Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. But the day, in terms of its character, is not a day of Simcha. It's a day of judgment on which we feel very confident and therefore express a sense of Simcha and joy. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot were days that were given to us in order to rejoice. Rosh Hashanah is not like that. And that explains beautifully the distinction and the inconsistency that we raised. Why is it that we don't say Moadim L'Simcha in davening? Because that would imply that the day itself, inherent in the day, is the sense of joy. That's not true. So we omit it. But we can still have the mitzvah V'Samachta B'Chagecha, because from the perspective of the person, from the perspective of he or she who's experiencing the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, we do experience Simcha. We do express it. This has many, many ramifications for the way that we experience Rosh Hashanah. For example, should we cry during Tfilos on Rosh Hashanah? So I'll tell you honestly, I always thought, of course we should cry. And I think that the answer is going to be, yes, it's certainly appropriate. But I was surprised to find that this is not something that is agreed upon by all. If you turn to sources number 21 and 22, so in the Yabia Omer, that's Rav Ovadia Yosef, Rav Ovadia was very taken by the perspective that there's a full mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he says, "Umichivan demuchach sheyash mitzvah Simcha b'Rosh Hashanah, tzarich lispalel b'Simcha uvetov levav." That's how we should daven. Ve'ein livkos b'tfiloso b'Rosh Hashanah. One shouldn't even cry. Shabechia pogas b'mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov, because crying interferes with the mitzvah of Simcha. But if you look at the Matei Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolios, who wrote one of the main Svarim on the Halachos of Rosh Hashanah, he says exactly the opposite. Umi she'ein bechia nofelas alav biyomim ha'ile, one who doesn't cry, hu hora'a she'ein nishmaso haguna ushlema, he's not in his full spiritual complete stage if he's not even able to cry on the Day of Judgment. You see here how the later poskim could have taken either side of the equation as to whether Rosh Hashanah is really a day of full simcha, like Rabbi Ovadia is saying, or no. Maybe it's a mixed emotion type of day. It's an ambiguous day. It's a day in which we're supposed to feel multiple things. Rav Moshe Tzvi told us last night in the name of the Zohar, Bechia misitra da, crying on this side of the heart, V'chedvasa misitra da, and joy on the other side of the heart. Rosh Hashanah is a day on which we're instructed to feel a broad sense of emotion. It's not singular. It's not monolithic. There isn't one expression to have on Rosh Hashanah. It's a day of complexity. It's not a day that's giving for Simcha, but it is a day in which we feel confident in our judgment. It is part of the other Moadim, and therefore we experience and express Simcha, but also maybe crying is okay. Maybe not even okay, but advisable. Because that also reflects what the inner character of the day is. One who's able to cry during his or her tefillos reflects that this is truly a day of Yom HaDin. What about fasting? Some of the Gaonim said that despite the fact that Rosh Hashanah is one of the Moadim, it would still be okay to fast. And Rav Rosenzweig pointed out in source number 17, there's a Kolbo, Rabbi Aaron HaKohen of Narbon, who says as follows, something spectacular. He says that if you want to fast, that's great. And if you don't want to fast, that's also great. What? When have we heard about any Yom Tov that you can choose the way that you want to spend it? No, we have objective laws. But that's exactly the point about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of ambiguity and complexity. And it's up to the person as an individual to be able to decide what is it that he or she most needs to tap into, most needs to reflect on, most needs to take a reckoning about during this year, on this Rosh Hashanah. Maybe this year I'm feeling more of a fasting type of year. Maybe this year I'm feeling more of a rejoicing type of year. That's exactly the point. Because Rosh Hashanah is that day of ambiguity that's up to the individual to think about his or her past year, reflect on where they stand in their spiritual standing before Hashem. That's the day of Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps that's why Rosh Hashanah is presented in the Torah exactly as it is. The Torah didn't want to give us the secrets to Rosh Hashanah. Tell you to blow a shofar, tell you exactly what a trua is, tell you whether to have a mitzvah of simcha or not. And it left us all in the Torah Shabbat Peh to determine what exactly we do and how we're supposed to experience the day. But the presentation itself is reflective of what the day of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be. And that's a day of intentional ambiguity. A day on which we have many, many different feelings and emotions that we can reckon with, that we can confront, and that we're supposed to confront on that day. So the truth is that from that perspective, Rosh Hashanah really emerges as the perfect beginning to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and to eventually what's going to climax with the day of Yom Kippur. The day of Yom Kippur is a monolithic day. The day of Yom Kippur has only one theme, Lifnei Hashem Titharu. The day of Yom Kippur is a day on which we kind of pull ourselves out of living in this world, living lives of humanity. We transcend the human and we become almost angelic. It's a topic for another time, but we all know ways in which we feel like angels on Yom Kippur. Why? Because it's a day on which we spend all of our time and every second and every part of our being is only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how do you get to that day? How do you reach that destination? How do you achieve that goal? Says the Torah, you have to go through Rosh Hashanah first. Rosh Hashanah is that day when you're thinking about your entire spiritual journey. You're thinking on a very broad, macroscopic level about what is my life? What is it all about? What are my priorities and values? What am I doing well? What am I not doing well? What type of Rosh Hashanah should I be having this year? Is it the type of Rosh Hashanah that I should fast? Or the type of Rosh Hashanah that I should rejoice? And certainly none of us are going to fast, but the fact that that is even in the halacha so much accentuates what the day of Rosh Hashanah is. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah truly is the day of intentional ambiguity, a day of mixed emotions, as conveyed by the idea of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, the fact that simcha is not made explicit, even though we feel it, but it's not a day that's given for simcha. It's a day that's given for a wide range of emotions that we tap into all of them. Wish you all a great rest in the night.